I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
He said that that not only was Joe Biden on the phone over 20 times with people, including the Burisma executives, talking about whatever, even though the president denied that he never spoke to any of these people. He also said that Hunter Biden was under immense pressure while they both served on the Burisma board to call Washington, D.C. immediately and try to get Shokin fired. That's the Ukrainian prosecutor. And not many days later, Joe Biden traveled to Ukraine, and we've all seen the video that where Joe Biden brags about withholding foreign aid to Ukraine.
That is a direct statement from Congressman James Comer regarding Devin Archer's testimony behind closed doors yesterday. We still have not seen the transcript, and of course, whatever we're relying on is what is being told to us by those coming out of the hearing. This is very much like some of the closed-door hearings Adam Schiff had, except we have those coming out telling more truth than lies. Now, if the transcript proves otherwise, I'll have to eat those words, but I don't expect to eat them. Not one bit. Thanks for joining us again. Here we are, August 1, 2023. This is our last week of live streaming at noon because a major change is coming to Larry Connors USA. I'll give you more details later, but reminding you that during each Monday through Friday up until this date, you could see a live stream on various channels. And of course, we always welcome you to this 6 o'clock report because this 6 o'clock report is a cornerstone of what we're going to be doing going forward. Again, thank you for joining us. So, Devin Archer makes his testimony before the closed-door hearing yesterday. And you heard Congressman Comer point out that Archer was referring to how Joe Biden was being called by various folks in the circle of Hunter Biden, although he won't be specific, that we have in front of us now, that we need to get rid of this prosecutor over here, because he's going to be digging in too deep. Now, we are told repeatedly by Joe Biden, I never had anything to do with my son's business. The very fact that he responds to an urgent call for help, get rid of this prosecutor, is 180 degrees from what he's been claiming all this time. Now, we have played this clip for you numerous times. We're going to do it again. This is Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, talking to a group of foreign affairs officials about what he did and how tough and bullied he was against Ukraine because he wanted something done. And at that time, he was vice president. And by God, he carried it out. Listen again.
Had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to press conference. Said, "No," I said, "I'm not going to. We're not going to give you $1 billion." They said, "You have no authority. You're not the president." The president said, I said, "Call him." I said, "I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, "You're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here." And I think it was, 6 hours? I looked, I said, "I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money." Well, son of a got fired.
He got fired. And the word was, as we've repeated and we've used it previously from other sources, where we don't blank out the son of a bitch, as he said. Congressman Jim Jordan, overseeing the Judiciary Committee, that's also involved in this inquiry, in addition to Congressman Comer, the House Ways and Means Oversight. Congressman Jordan lays out a timeline for all of this and how it plays out.
They're having a board meeting in Dubai on December 4th, 2015. After the board meeting, Hunter Biden meets with Devin Archer, Zolochevsky, and Pizarski, the two key guys who run Burisma. They meet for drinks. During that meeting, they say, we need the U.S. government to intervene. We're under pressure from the prosecutor. We're facing pressure in Great Britain because they've sanctioned and seized our assets, £23 million, $23 million in Britain. We need some help. They make a phone call to D.C. Mr. Archer, I don't know who they call, but they call D.C. And 5 days later, December 9th, 2015, Joe Biden is in Ukraine and he gives a speech starting the pressure on the prosecutor in Ukraine. 5 days after that meeting.
Look at the schedule of the timeline that you just heard laid out by Congressman Jim Jordan. And the fact that they made a call, we need help. They make a call to D.C., someone in D.C. Now, we can speculate all day as to who took the call. But what we know is based upon Joe Biden's words himself, that he put pressure on them, said, if you don't get rid of him, if you don't fire him, you're not going to get this $1 billion. And they said, you don't have the right to withhold it. Said, the hell I don't. Call Obama if you want. And sure enough, they fire the prosecutor. When you exchange something for something else, if you recall, this issue was brought up during Trump when they were trying to make allegations that he was doing something for Russia in exchange for something else. They used that term, which many had heard before, but maybe didn't look at it in a legal context. Quid pro quo, one thing for another. Now, in this case, when you enter this agreement, you could be looking at not only a violation of law, you could be looking at an act of treason. Congressman Comer.
That's very illegal. We have evidence in this sworn testimony that from a fellow Burisma board member that they were pressuring Hunter to immediately get on the phone with his father and get this stopped. So, you know, the evidence continues to mount. And today we saw Joe Biden has lied to the American people. He knew exactly who his son was getting those millions and millions of dollars of wires from. And he spoke to them and he spoke to them often.
Spoke to them often. That was another part of Devin Archer's testimony, according to those coming out of the hearing and sharing some of his testimony with reporters. Numerous phone calls where Hunter Biden was talking to his business associates and got Daddy on the phone. Hey, Dad, say hello. Talk to them. Say, hi, how you doing? In other words, you don't have to say that it was a direct connection to Joe Biden. When you bring in your daddy, your papa, the vice president, and they hear his voice, everything is clear. You don't have to threaten someone with your power, your authority, and what you could do to them if they do not step in line. You just introduce them to someone that they realize this guy controls everything. And if we want things to go our way, we've got to kind of play along. Well, Congressman Dan Goldman, Democrat, came out of the same hearing. He rushed out at one point and said, oh, I got to share this with you because Devin Archer, he says, mouth, blah, 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 blah. In other words, Dan Goldman is already trying to shoot down any testimony coming from that hearing before the Republicans would come out and talk to reporters. Congressman Dan Goldman, self-made multimillionaire, an attorney, New York, and of course he has traded something like 500 stock trades in the last year, making tons of money, but he is a clean, principled guy, according to him. And I'm not trying to diminish that. I'm just saying he also is, as one is going to tell you here shortly, basically amounting to a shill for Joe Biden. But again, let's hear Dan Goldman as he came out and talked about these phone calls Devin Archer was referring to.
Sounds like most of the time, now President Biden didn't even know who the people he was at dinner. He was just asked to say hello, and he would, you know, talk about the way he described it several times. They asked over and over and over. He described what the weather was, how what's going on your end. The witness was very, very consistent that none of those conversations ever had to do with any business dealings or transactions. They were purely what he called casual conversations.
Casual conversations. In other words, I introduce on the phone while I'm talking to you, oh, here's my daddy, President of the United States, or at that time, Vice President of the United States. Does that not catch your attention that I have some connections and you want to be closely connected to me? Well, of course it does. And Congressman Van Drew was listening to some of these comments from Goldman, Congressman Goldman. And Congressman Jeff Van Drew of New Jersey said, my reaction to Goldman is this.
Dan Golden looks nervous when he speaks about this and goes through his little rendition of what happened. People don't meet over 20 times, a dozen times, just because they want to talk about the weather. I don't know about you. You can only talk about the weather for a few minutes. I mean, that's nonsense. We're not morons. The American people aren't morons. And quite frankly, if Dan Goldman ever wants to go one-on-one in a debate over this, I'm more than happy to do it. I trust Jim Comer. I trust, the chairman of Judiciary. Certainly, these are people that are honest and tell the truth. And we know at least the minimum that's in there is what they told us. I'm sure that there's more. This is bad stuff. He should have been registered as a foreign agent. They were selling America. We need the impeachment process to begin. And Dan Goldman's not telling the truth. He's a shill for Joe Biden.
He is a shill for Joe Biden. That is Congressman Jeff Van Drew, New Jersey, referenced Dan Goldman of New York. He said, we're not morons, the American people. We think, really, that Joe Biden had conversations with Hunter Biden's associates, business connections, just say, hey, how's the weather over there in Ukraine? How's the weather in China? Come on. Well, there's a survey backing up that thought. Just released, Rasmussen reports, 60% of voters believe that Joe Biden is working to cover up his involvement in the family business deals with foreign adversaries. The poll asked specifically, how likely is it that Joe Biden has been part of an illegal cover-up to hide his involvement in his son Hunter's business deals? And that's where more than 60% said likely, very likely. 45% said it's very likely. 60% said that he believed it is, and 45% of those said it's very likely. 34% said it's not likely. 18% believe it's not at all likely. So the poll asked independent voters. One of Hunter Biden's former business partners says that when he was vice president, Joe Biden took part in telephone conversations with foreign clients. How serious of a scandal is this? Overall, 60% said it is concerning. And among the 60%, 49% say very concerning. 16% say somewhat concerning. 14% not very concerning. And 13% believe not concerning at all. I think we could name the party affiliation with some of those views. Do you not think so? On both sides. But there are also independents and Democrats that do not like what they're seeing go down with Joe Biden based upon Devin Archer's testimony, Hunter Biden's actions, and Joe Biden's continued denial. And again, back to Congressman Dan Goldman, when he went on MSNBC, a friendly environment so he could discuss what he really believes.
What he testified to yesterday completely absolves Joe Biden of any involvement in Hunter Biden's business world. And notwithstanding whatever alleged smoke Chairman Comer says there is, the witness testimony was very clear that Joe Biden was not involved in any of their business dealings. Joe Biden got no benefit. Joe Biden did not change any of his actions for the benefit of his son in any way, shape, or form. That Hunter may have, quote, promoted the illusion of influence on his father, but the witness was very clear that it was an illusion.
An illusion. I'll have more on the Devin Archer testimony and reaction in the next hour. And later in this hour, Heritage legal expert on the chance that Hunter Biden can resurrect his sweetheart deal with the DOJ, the Department of Injustice. But before that, tonight Missouri will execute a man who killed a six-year-old, destroying a family.
Johnny not only took one daughter from me, but two. Because 8 years ago, we lost my oldest daughter. She was never able to accept life after losing her sister. She figured out at a young age how to numb her pain, and we lost her at 23 years old.
That is the mother of Casey Williamson, the six-year-old that was killed more than 21 years ago. And tonight, the man who killed her will be executed. Despite numerous delays. And even the father and another relative of Casey is saying, we don't want the man to be executed. The mother plans to be there to watch him die by lethal injection in Bon Terre, Missouri, when it takes place. And you heard her talk about how it's destroyed their family, costing her a second daughter. When the other daughter began to realize what had happened to her sister and couldn't get over it. It also drove her husband at the time, she says, to become a drunk, and that her brother was totally destroyed because the two of them had to go identify Casey and see how she was left after she was killed by this man because she resisted him trying to molest her, rape her. He hit her repeatedly with large stones and then buried her under a pile of rocks with the last stone being smashed down on her head. There are those who say, well, you need to show some mercy for this case. Let me give you some background briefly. The Supreme Court ruling stopped Missouri executions for almost 24 years, but then they resumed January 6, 1989. George Tiny Mercer, a biker gang member, had been convicted and was to be executed for what he did to a waitress who had been kidnapped. It was his birthday, and his biker friends, his motorcycle gangsters, decided to kidnap the waitress, present her as a birthday gift. I've read details of what George Tiny Mercer did to that young woman. There are details that I could not even begin to share on the air with you. And there are a few details I would share to anyone in person. I was a witness to the execution of George Tiny Mercer. And as with my feelings regarding Mercer, we have the case tonight with this man who killed Casey, 6-year-old Casey, 21 years ago. When George Tiny Mercer was executed, the story was carried by obviously everyone in the state and elsewhere, because again, it was the state of Missouri resuming executions. And that was January 6, 1989. He died within moments after they injected fatal drugs into his left arm. St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Terry Gainey wrote it in the sense that in his last moments, Mercer focused his attention on the woman who married him after he was in prison for raping and killing the young woman. Now, with this case tonight, as with George Tiny Mercer, may God have mercy on his soul, because I don't have that kind of mercy. Well, I know what George Tiny Mercer did to the girl that they kidnapped for him. I know what this man did to that 6-year-old. I don't have that kind of mercy. Thank God does, that he does. So may God have mercy on him. I don't have it. Coming up, Heritage legal expert John Malcolm on the chance that the DOJ might actually give Hunter Biden another sweetheart deal. Do you think there's a chance in hell that's going to happen? That and more still to come in this hour of the 6 o'clock report. Lock and load. Ready. On the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930, Wellington Environmental, your world, cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors, USA, Facebook.
Well, I got me a gal in Pekin. She's a good old gal, okay. Oh, she's sitting there waiting by a window fan on a long hot summer day. For every day I'm working on the Illinois River, get a half a day off with pay.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. I had told you previously that I believe that Devin Archer canceled three previous times to give his story to Congressional House members because he was waiting for the Hunter Biden sweetheart deal to be put to rest. And then he would come forward. Well, of course, that got blown out of the water when the judge asked the question, are there more charges pending against Hunter Biden? And the answer was yes, so she blew it out of the water. And Devin Archer was probably up against the wall saying, I better get in there and protect myself at this point. That's my view. Joining us here now is John Malcolm, Heritage constitutional law expert. John, glad to have you on board with us again.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Good to be with you.
So let's begin, first of all, with the Hunter Biden deal canceled and the timing of the Devin Archer testimony and the Burisma tie and everything else that was in there. What is your thought on Devin Archer coming forward only after the Hunter Biden deal got blown up?
Well, I'm not sure that there's a relationship between the two, although I suppose it is possible. I mean, Devin Archer is himself going to go to prison soon. He's previously convicted. He just lost his case on appeal. He's got a story to tell, and he has now told it. I think it's a fairly devastating story for Hunter Biden and for Joe Biden. Could have been worse, but he, you know, Joe Biden for the longest time was saying, oh, I have no idea what Hunter's businesses are. I never discussed business with Hunter. And now, all of a sudden, with Devin Archer coming forward, he's saying, well, I was never in business with Hunter.
They did spin it again. Before we leave the point about Devin Archer going to jail,
sure.
He's facing 1 year for a scheme that did not involve Hunter Biden. He could face more time if they can connect him some of this other stuff, not registering as a foreign agent, things of that nature. But the connection between him and Hunter, they've always been good friends, business acquaintances.
Right.
And as soon as Devin Archer got the first court to overturn his conviction, he immediately called Hunter Biden and said, hey, can we get together now and be friends again? Because, you know, I'm not under a court. And Hunter said, sure, we'll schedule a time to get together. So they're very closely linked. And in Hunter Biden's mind, he has to worry about what exactly is Devin Archer going to spill that's going to gut me and Joe Biden.
Oh, no, I think that's true. And look, although we haven't seen a transcript yet, apparently what Devin Archer said is, on, you know, 20 some odd times, dating back to the time when Joe Biden was vice president of the United States, he would get on the line with business associates of Hunter Biden's and Devin Archer's, overseas oligarchs and you know, people under investigation for corruption.
He wanted to know what the weather was. He wanted to know what the weather was there. That's all.
Well, but what Hunter Biden was doing was making it quite clear to his business associates who were paying him quite handsomely, hey, I can make one call and I can get the vice president on the line. And he'll say a few words, but the most significant thing is just to show I can reach him at any time. You want access? I can get you access. And boy, it certainly seems on things like Burisma, you know, he may very well, Vice President Biden may very well have delivered the goods. I mean, there is a connection between, you know, Burisma folks telling Hunter Biden, gee, we got a problem because Viktor Shokin, the top prosecutor in Ukraine, is looking into our business and whether it involves corruption. Sure would be nice if we could get rid of Shokin. Biden gets on the telephone, makes small talk about whatever, and then within a month says, we're going to withhold U.S. aid to Ukraine unless you fire Viktor Shokin. And lo and behold, Viktor Shokin gets fired.
And it all falls into place. And there's another connection where Hunter Biden and Devin come together, because some of the tax years were just basically forgiven in this sweetheart deal that they had proposed for Hunter Biden. And two of those years involved Burisma money and Devin Archer. So that's what I was saying. Devin Archer probably was worried about, if Hunter can be given immunity in the sweetheart deal, then nobody will come back to me and look additional charges on any taxes that I was hiding.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, he wasn't, quote-unquote, forgiven for those two tax years. It's probably even worse than that, which is according to the two IRS whistleblowers who have come forward, Joseph Ziegler and Gary Shapley. The Department of Justice dithered and stopped getting Biden's attorneys to continue signing tolling agreements, and the statute of limitations has now run on those charges. So even if a special counsel was appointed, they cannot charge him with probably the most serious tax year. Now, mind you, there are still a lot of tax years for which you could be charged with felony willful tax evasion. They were prepared to basically take all of that, those potential charges, and turn them into two misdemeanor charges, a slap on the wrist. But the plea deal is now somewhat in jeopardy. I mean, the judge did not like the way it was framed. It was an immunity provision that was very unclear. It wasn't contained within the four walls of the plea agreement itself. It was in a side deal, a diversion agreement. She was being called upon to play a gatekeeper role with respect to that diversion agreement, which is something that never happens in diversion agreements. Judges aren't involved in those agreements. So she basically said, I'm not taking this plea today. You all go back and discuss it. Brief these issues for me in 30 days, and we will see whether they're able to resurrect this deal or not.
So
in
let's
the
take
meantime,
that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to pick that part up. But of course, also in there was the gun charge, the felony gun charge. It was just kind of swept under the rug, and people were in behind bars on that same charge that he was going to have dismissed. So the sweetheart deal put together with the Department of Injustice, in my view, and then tried to rope the judge into it. And of course, the state-controlled media, as I call them, constantly pointing out this is a Trump-appointed judge. In other words, when she makes a ruling that Hunter Biden is good and clean to go, a Trump judge made that decision. Well, she did not make the decision. She wasn't looking at politics. She was looking at the law. So what are the chances that in this coming what's left of the 30 days, Hunter Biden can get anything close to the sweetheart deal he had previously?
Well, look, they control the deal. I mean, the Department of Justice could simply just drop the charges.
Would they dare do that now?
No, I don't think they will do that. I think they're going to try to go back and resurrect this deal, probably by eliminating her from the diversion agreement. But even then, the judge might very well say, you know, you're going to have to include these immunity provisions in the plea agreement. And if you include these immunity provisions in the plea agreement, then I get to look at the plea deal to see whether I think that this is in the best interest of justice. And we haven't heard her views on that subject yet. They tried to convince her that that was not a determination she could make with respect to the plea deal as it was structured.
If she had not asked the question, is Mr. Hunter Biden still facing other charges, they had to answer yes, and that put a stop to everything because they wanted immunity from everything.
Yeah, he's not actually facing charges at the moment, but the question is, could he be charged
with
violations of FARA? And the Department of Justice said, yes, he's under investigation, and yes, he could be charged with violating the Foreign Agents Registration Act. And Hunter Biden's attorney said, no, that's not the deal we have. Now, mind you, they went out, they took a break, and they came back in and said, okay, we agree that he could be charged with FARA violations, but even the judge said at that point, I do not feel comfortable with this gatekeeper role that you have put me in terms of determining whether he breaches his diversion agreement. That strikes me as a violation of separation of powers and maybe unconstitutional. You need to brief that issue for me. And a lot can happen in a month. So we had Devin Archer, and who knows who else is going to come forward with more allegations of pay-to-play by the Bidens.
You're listening to John Malcolm, Heritage constitutional law expert. What are the chances, the odds, or any possibility that the Department of Justice, along with the Hunter Biden attorneys, decide to switch judges? Is there a way for them to shop a new judge that might be more acceptable?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you could move to recuse her, but she's done absolutely, Judge Nareka has done nothing to indicate that she has a bias one way or the other. All she looked at and said, I've never seen a plea deal like this. We're going to unpack this a little bit. And the more she started unpacking it, the worse it got.
And it was very clearly going to be to his favor, and it was going to give him immunity from any other kinds of prosecution. Is that right?
Well, it's not for future crimes. It was unclear.
Oh, future, yeah, right.
Yeah, it basically sat there and said, it covers everything that's in these statements that are attached to the diversion agreement and the plea agreement. Now, all those did was talk about, you know, tax charges and gun charges. but it covered business relationships. And so the question became, is it just tax charges related to those business relationships or everything related to those business relationships? It was clear as mud, and that's why the judge said, let's try to figure out what this is and whether we have a meeting of the minds on this. And then the parties didn't have a meeting of the minds, whether they'll go back and come to a new agreement or not. You know, we will see. I'm sure they're scrambling to try to do that.
Oh, I'm sure they're
That gets more difficult.
They're like mice on that spinning wheel. I mean, they're running like crazy. Now, before we lose you, explain in detail as quick as you can and reference the FARA, the Foreign Agent Registry Act, how it applies to Hunter Biden in this case and possibly Joe Biden.
Well, Joe Biden was not represent. I mean, I suppose when he was out of office, he could be deemed to be a foreign agent trying to affect policy. I think it's more likely it would apply to Hunter Biden's business associates. The object of the influence, the person who they were attempting to influence was Joe Biden. He was not representing the foreign principles, but perhaps when he was out of office, he was.
FARA refers to an American citizen that is in violation, not registering as a foreign agent, right?
Correct. But you have to be lobbying on behalf of the foreign agent. You don't have to be the object of the lobbying.
So that fits Hunter. It fits Hunter, and you don't think it fits Joe
and his business associates.
And you don't think it fits Joe?
When Joe was out of office, and if Joe was calling people to try to get stuff done for Hunter's business dealings, then it would certainly apply to him.
And if he accepted money while he was out of office?
Yes. When he was out of office, if he was representing foreign interests and lobbying on their behalf and not registering as an agent, FARA could apply to him.
All right. John Malcolm, as always, we appreciate your expertise.
My pleasure, Larry.
You bet. John Malcolm, Heritage Constitutional Law Expert. We're going to get into that in more detail in the second hour. But coming up, there's a judicial nominee Joe Biden wants to see in a judge position. Senator Josh Hawley raises some questions, and that's where the fight begins.
Allen Outdoor Solutions knows what you want. An oasis, a place at your home to relax, enjoy, entertain. Allen Outdoor Solutions can design and build your oasis. A spacious stone patio, different levels, maybe a fireplace, flowing water. See their quality work at AllenOutdoorSTL.com, AllenOutdoorSTL.com, or call 314-647-4800, AllenOutdoorSTL.com. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience. Do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
She asked you if you participated in any meetings at all related to the Hunter Biden laptop. Was that a yes or a no?
Senator, as a Department of Justice employee bound by Section 1-7 of the Justice Manual, as well as a judicial nominee, it's not appropriate for me.
And there begins the dance. This is Missouri Senator Josh Hawley, who is questioning a former FBI officer nominated by President Biden to be judge of the Eastern District of Louisiana. From Feb 2020 to July 2021, this Brandon Long, who is up for this judicial appointment, was at that point detailed to serve as deputy chief of staff to FBI Director Christopher Wray in D.C. I'll give you the dates again. Feb 2020 to July 2021. Now, we all know the Hunter Biden laptop story exploded just weeks before the Biden-Trump election. But the FBI and others got to state-controlled media and big tech and told them it's a Russian collusion story. There is no laptop. There's no truth to it. Only Miranda Devine of The Post, Fox News, and conservative voices such as this program continue to point out it does exist, it does have information on it, it's being ignored. So again, it was a clear instance of the FBI being weaponized by the Biden administration. Of course, Biden was not in office yet, but the swamp was teeming with various critters left over from the Obama years and other years of even Republicans. And they were making sure things got done the way they wanted. So when President Biden decides to nominate Brandon Long to be judge of the Eastern District of Louisiana, Josh Hawley saw some questions that needed to be asked, particularly when you consider the timeline and the FBI's knowledge of that Hunter Biden laptop, and in fact that the FBI had the laptop in its possession for a full year before the story became public. Josh Hawley questioning again.
It's not appropriate for me, and I'm bound not
why,
to
wait,
talk
wait, wait,
about
wait, wait, wait. Why isn't it appropriate for you?
It's
a judicial nominee. This has anything to do with any case that you have, right? I'm asking you what you did in your former employment as the deputy chief of staff to the FBI director. Did you participate in any meetings related to the Hunter Biden laptop?
Senator, again, as a Department of Justice.
It sounds like you're not going to answer me. Is this going to be a I'm not going to answer you type deal?
Senator, I'm bound to follow the Code of Judicial Conduct.
The Code of Judicial Conduct doesn't have any bearing on this question whatsoever. What possible bearing could it have? That's a question mark.
Well, Senator, the Code of Judicial Conduct requires integrity and independence in the judiciary. It requires judicial officers to act with...
It's not a get-out-of-jail-free card when you don't want to answer questions when you're under oath before a committee who's considering you for a lifetime appointment to the federal bench.
It's not a get-out-of-jail-free card. You see how quickly he can cite the statute because that's his defense. He won't answer the direct question, doesn't plan to. Now, Josh Hawley's not through with him, but before we continue, let me remind you, this is the game they played every time when members nominated by Joe Biden to serve in a cabinet position or an official in a judgeship, be it the Supreme Court or a federal bench court, they suddenly don't remember a lot, but they do remember the code of judicial, what did he say the word was? F-E-E-T. I don't know if they know how to spell it. I do. Ethics. E-T-H-I-C-S. They don't remember that until they need to say, this is our code and we're bound to follow this ethically. But you didn't. Josh Hawley pushes again.
I'm going to try one last time. Did you participate in any meetings during your time as deputy chief of staff or acting chief of staff related to the Hunter Biden laptop, yes or no?
Senator, again, I'm not permitted to answer.
Oh, you are permitted to answer. You don't want to answer because it would be inconvenient for you. And I have to tell you, I find that extremely troubling, Mr. Long, extremely troubling. Not a good start. Let's see if we can do better on a different topic. While you were at the Department of Justice, or at the FBI in your capacity as Deputy Chief of Staff and Acting Chief of Staff, did you ever observe FBI resources being used to monitor pro-life groups or pro-life individuals?
No, Senator. I don't have any information about that.
What about Catholic parishes or Catholic groups?
No, Senator.
So, now, I notice you're happy to answer those questions, but you're not happy to answer the Hunter Biden question. They're not qualitatively different. I'd just like to note that for the record.
Note it for the record, and he's exactly right. Oh, I'd be glad to answer that. But when it comes to anything involving Biden, no. I know nothing, I see nothing, I hear nothing, I tell nothing. That is, again, one of Joe Biden's nominees to be judge of the Eastern District of Louisiana. If a man who's nominated to be a judge, or a woman, for that matter, a transsexual, nominated to be a judge, is going to be that evasive in the nomination hearings on specific questions, do you not have an issue? I do. I want to share something Breitbart is releasing. They claim it's an exclusive. I haven't seen it anywhere else. They're saying that an Army three-star general and a West Point associate professor used government resources in an unofficial investigation to hunt down and punish an anonymous active duty whistleblower who criticized Army leaders and the Biden administration, apparently doing so on social media. All of this according to private emails and text messages Breitbart says it obtained exclusively. The story refers to Army Training and Doctrine Command Deputy Lieutenant General Maria Gervais and Army Major Jessica Dawson, who is also, quote, an information warfare research scientist at the Army Cyber Institute, that according to the allegation, they use their official authority and access to government resources to track down that whistleblower that had complained and made mocking remarks about Joe Biden and other military officers and get him identified publicly and punished by his chain of command. Again, according to the Breitbart article, despite the lack of evidence, they repeatedly accused the whistleblower of being, quote, a counterintelligence and, quote, an insider threat in a seeming effort to trigger action by the Army Criminal Investigative Division. Now, the CID, Criminal Investigative Division, is an independent federal law enforcement agency with the authority and power to investigate serious felonies. Pat Weir, a civilian defense attorney and Navy reservist, said that a CID investigation would require an assumption or designation of a serious threat and called Gervais and Dawson trumping up accusations for exercising free right speech wrongful. In fact, he said the alleged actions of the whistleblower did not rise to the level of a serious crime or any crime at all. Rather, it appeared to be an attempt by rogue military officials seeking to use the levers of government to punish political dissent. We've seen this before. We've seen it publicly with the FBI, the DOJ, the IRS. Gervais and Dawson apparently ran their shadow investigation for nearly a year, enlisting help from online associates consisting of progressive current and former members of the military who disagreed with the whistleblower politically. That all led to the doxing or public outing of the suspected whistleblower's identity and an Army two-star general's former aide filing an inspector general complaint against him. And as they point out, that is, again, weaponization in retaliation because he made some media posts they didn't like. This is the way we want this nation to go? The answer is no, hell no. To wrap up this hour, how leftist politicians and state-controlled media continue to cover for President Joe Biden, despite the evidence that is right in front of them.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine, fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Hunter may have, quote, promoted the illusion of influence on his father, but the witness was very clear that it was an illusion. There was no actual influence, and what the evidence has shown in this entire investigation, and we keep getting witness after witness who's supposed to be their star witness showing Joe Biden's connection, is the only evidence is that that Joe Biden's official actions ran counter to Hunter Biden's interests, because this witness said that Burisma believed they had the corrupt prosecutor general, and I quote what the witness said, under control, and they did not want him to be fired because that might mean that Burisma and their president would get investigated, and yet that's exactly what Joe Biden advocated. That's the only evidence at all of Joe Biden's connection in any way, shape, or form to Hunter Biden's business interests.
That, according to New York Congressman Dan Goldman, I love it where he says, really, Joe Biden was doing nothing wrong, except for this one case. Well, that's only what we need is one case. But, of course, he says, again, there's nothing illegal. Well, we've yet to see that, haven't we? And I love it how he talks about Hunter Biden was selling the illusion. Hunter Biden is the David Copperfield of the White House. You see it, and now you don't. And I make a call to these foreign nationals and my business associates. Hey, Daddy, come talk to them. And Joe gets on and say, hey, how you doing? How's the weather there? That's no joking, man. I want to know how the weather is. And if you listen to Congressman Dan Goldman, Democrat of New York, who, by the way, worked with the Democrats as a House staffer to impeach former President Trump, said it would have been rude. It would have been absolutely rude for Joe Biden not to speak with anyone on the phone that Hunter wanted to introduce him to. How rude. He couldn't just wave him off in the background like, no, 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 don't bring me into it. No, no, no. No, when Hunter says, Daddy, come talk to him. All they needed to do was hear Joe Biden's name and his voice to prove that Hunter Biden was extremely well connected. You look at some of the details that have been coming out on all of this. And again, keep in mind that we don't have the full transcript. But apparently, Devin Archer told investigators that then Vice President Joe Biden was on the speakerphone more than 20 times with the business associates to sell the brand being the Biden name. Hunter Biden made the contacts, made the phone call, and then got Daddy on the phone. That's selling the brand. Joe Biden was the brand. Archer testified one of the calls included a dinner in China with Jonathan Lee of Bohai Harvest, BHR, which Hunter Biden and Archer held their interest through a company, a shell company, called Rosemont Seneca Thornton. Archer confirmed Joe Biden attended a business dinner with Hunter Biden and associates at Cafe Milano in D.C. in 2014. That's a business dinner. Oh, no, no, no. We just sat and talked about the weather, man. No joking. And one of those at the dinner included the billionaire ex-wife of the Moscow longtime mayor. The same billionaire ex-wife who transferred $3.5 million to Hunter's and Archer's Rosemont Seneca Thornton firm, Feb 14, Happy Valentine's Day, 2014. The Biden administration's sanctions list excludes Russian oligarch Baturina, but does name the fact that the money was transferred. So in 2014, Archer and Hunter Biden both joined the board of Burisma. And if you believe Dan Goldman, Ukraine did not really want to fire the prosecutor because they thought they had everything in control. And yet somebody called D.C., and Joe Biden himself is on record as saying, I went to talk to them, and I told them, you're not going to get the $1 billion from the U.S. until you fire that prosecutor. And Goldman wants you to believe that was contrary to what Hunter Biden wanted. No, not necessarily. But of course, once you start spinning that web of lies, there are so many parts to put together. And we're going to examine more of those parts of the second hour. And also how the state-controlled media, you talk about being a magician, they made the Devin Archer testimony disappear. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.